it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmar, the complete tool center, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to Sports Day WA. Certainly enjoyed the couple of hours with Paul Hazelby. I'm filling in for Damian Martin on the run home. Back again tomorrow between 3 and 5. And you can continue the texts on the text machine, 0487 736 736. Just following on from where football is, and we're talking about the existence and the future opportunities for the Gold Coast Suns and the the Greater Western Sydney Giants, and whether, you know, there should be still perseverance and pouring millions and millions of dollars into those two ventures, and whether it'll bear fruit in time. Hayes feels it will. I'm not so sure, nor is Jimmy when we were talking about it on the run home. I said that there needs to be more money put into community football and country football and sustain the grassroots, because that's where the players come from. But no name, and there was someone who sent through a text saying, I don't often agree with Peter Vlahos, but you only have to watch the Auskick and Little League at halftime to see how much trouble our great game is in for the future. 75% of the kids have no idea and don't want to be there. Well, that's interesting. All right, and Hayes and Pete, I am still alive, SEN survivor, but this week is so hard. Any thoughts on a lock for this week? That's Greg in Mindari. Listen in tomorrow, Greg, and we'll make sure we acknowledge that as well. All right. Apple iSports for the fans. The hot topic is waiting on the Jack Higgins verdict at the AFL Tribunal for that tackle on Alia of Port Adelaide that unfortunately caused the power player to sustain concussion. So he's out of the game this weekend. We're still waiting on the adjudication. It is in process. And as soon as that verdict is handed down by the tribunal, we will bring it to you. That's the hot topic. Thanks to Apple iSports, your one-stop shop for all things sports. Now, I've got a very interesting interview coming up very shortly. If you look at Australian rules football, and a lot of people are critical about the accuracy these days. Forwards, and particularly full forwards in the old genre, even though they've got different roles these days, and their inability to kick goals often straight in front, 30 metres out, 35 metres out. We saw Marcus Bontempelli, a player of his class, miss from point-blank range the other night here at Optus Stadium. So, in your idea, who is the most accurate kick at goal that you have ever witnessed? I'll put my hand up. As a little boy, I saw the tail end of Austin Robertson Jr., the late Austin Robertson Jr. from Subiaco, and he was a dead-eye dick. But I'm going to speak to an individual who this weekend will be inducted into an AFL Hall of Fame. He kicked over 1,000 goals in his career. And at one stage, in one season, he kicked 135 goals and just 13 behinds. So 135-13 he kicked for an entire season. And he will share with us what has been and what was his training method that he used at every training session before training started and after training started to improve his accuracy. As I mentioned, he will be inducted into an AFL Hall of Fame this weekend. And in one game, he kicked 25 goals and I think only conceded three behinds, 25-3. As I said, he kicked over 1,000 goals. So he's going to join us in a little while. So who has been the most accurate kick that you remember when it comes to VFL, AFL, WAFL football? Love to hear from you on the text machine. I don't think there's anyone that's been more accurate than this gentleman that I'm about to have a chat to. Because I can't recall anybody that's kicked 135 goals in a season and only kicked 13 behinds. It's quite amazing. So that's the text machine, 0487 736 736. Also later in the program, I'm going to speak to Stan Lazaridis, the recently appointed Director of Football at the Perth Glory. A lot has been said about the Perth Glory on the road to nowhere after what was a terrible finish to the season, beaten 7-1 by Sydney at the weekend. Prior to that, at home, they lost 4-3 to Western United, and prior to that, they were beaten 8-0 by Melbourne City. So they have conceded 19 goals in their last three games and didn't record a victory in their final 10 games of the season and took out their second wooden spoon in 3 years. So Stan Lazaridis, a legend of the game, represented the Socceroos with distinction, was part of the golden generation when it came to footballers, particularly around that 2006 World Cup in Germany. Played, as we know, with West Ham and Birmingham City, with the elite in the UK, and also, as I mentioned, represented the Socceroos, and played just a short period with the Perth Glory when he returned. So Stan's going to join us a bit later on in the program, and he's going to give us an insight on where the Glory sit. There's a lot of players that are coming out of contract, and they feel that that was one of the reasons why the Glory fell away, because a lot of the players weren't in the mental frame of mind, knowing that had no future at the club. So Stan will bring us up to date. So that's all coming up a bit later on. All thanks to the groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. The other thing that intrigued me is regarding AFL football is that eradicating sling tackles could be harder than stopping the head-high bumps. That's according to All-Australian Jack Sinclair. He actually mentioned this today. Now, we know about Port Adelaide defender Alia, concussed last Friday night when Higgins pinned his arm while tackling him at the Adelaide Oval, and the result in a three-game suspension for the St Kilda player. And as we mentioned, the club has opted to challenge, and that's before the tribunal right at the moment. But Sinclair says the split-second nature of decisions when it comes to tackling specifically to apply the utmost pressure and the leniency of getting away with things at lower levels made the issue harder to combat, according to the head-high bumps. You know, we saw Tommy Barris, who was ousted for one match for that sling tackle on Michael Walters the week before. How difficult is it when you're at full tilt, you grab a player and you try and bring him to the ground, hopefully not seeing the player connect with the turf that often brings on the onset of maybe concussion or the player being knocked out. According to Jack Sinclair, he says it's a far harder manoeuvre to master than the head-high bumps. I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well. 0487 736 736. After the break, don't go away. We will speak to an AFL Hall of Famer. He will be inducted into the New South Wales Australian Football Hall of Fame this weekend with the likes of Buddy Franklin, Michael O'Loughlin, and many others. We'll chat to him next here on Sports Day WA with Peter Vlahos. Thanks to Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 45 years. And Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, it's great to have you company here on Sports Day WA with Peter Vlahos on this Tuesday. And as I said, the Text line is there, 0487 736 736, wherever you may be listening across the state. Give us your thoughts. There may be a country footballer that you thought was the most accurate that you had ever seen lining up for goals. This next gentleman I'm about to introduce to you on Friday night at the Sydney Cricket Ground will be inducted into the New South Wales Australian Football Hall of Fame. He retired some years ago, the first player to kick 1,000 goals in what's known as the AFL Black Diamond competition on the central coast of New South Wales. He's got a very familiar and very important surname in the aspect of Australian sport. His surname is Goolagong. His Christian name is Morris, and he joins us on the program right now. Morris, thanks for your time.
How are we, mate? We going good?
Good. I've got you in Woi Woi. What's Woi Woi like today?
Yeah, Woi Woi's raining, mate. It's we've had showers all day today, so it's not pleasant, but usually it's a very nice place to be.
Now, I've given everybody an indication of what you have achieved when it comes to Australian rules football. Now, the New South Wales Australian Football Hall of Fame will take place at a gala dinner on May the 3rd at the Sydney Cricket Ground, and Morris Goolagong will be inducted into that New South Wales AFL Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
Mate, it means a lot to me. I was very humble and proud when I got the news. I thought it was a hoax, actually, when I first heard about it. But I got an email saying that I was inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame, mate, and, it was something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
So do you have to go out and buy a suit?
Yes, mate, I did that the last couple of weeks, me and my son, actually, and bought a suit each, and, so we spent a bit of money on that, and, we head out there Friday night.
Tell us about your history when it comes to Australian rules football. You piled your trade across the state's central coast region. Tell us how it all came together for you from an early age.
Mate, I originally started playing in a little country town called Burellan, where my auntie was originally from, Auntie Yvonne, the tennis player.
Yes.
So I originally started playing AFL there when I was 8 years old. So I couldn't play rugby league. I was originally from a rugby league town, which is from Hillston, which is about an hour and a half further on from where I played. And so I got into AFL because they didn't have it for juniors, and that's where I started my career. And then, went from there right up to under-14s. Left there, went over to Wagga, moved to Wagga, played 2 years at Wagga in the Farrow League, and won a league best and fairest there, actually, at centre-half back, playing centre-half back. And then moved to the Central Coast in 94 and started playing here for Woi Woi. And then from 98 onwards, I played with Terrigal, Kavoka Panthers, here on the Central Coast.
You mentioned...
You're right.
Yeah, you mentioned Arnie Yvonne. Did she ever come down to come and see you play?
No, she's never had time, not really, to watch me play. But I had a lot of other family members come and watch play through my career. But, she's never seen me play a game of AFL.
Well, she won the Australian Open tennis-wise, we know, four times, the French Open, Wimbledon. Did you ever think of taking up tennis?
No, I could hit a ball, so it was in the blood, I suppose. My father, he was obviously, him and my auntie Barb were older, but they were a lot better tennis players, but just didn't take that up either. But Dad was a good footballer, AFL and rugby league, so it was in my blood, I suppose, and... I love kicking a football around, so it was something I found my passion in.
I tell you what, the Goolagong must have been a great sporting family all round. You mentioned about your father and the extended family. They all took to sport, I gather.
Yeah, we did, The youngest one in that sibling family, like my dad's youngest brother, he was a golfer. He turned professional for a little bit over in America. Mm-hmm. And, Uncle Ian, he played tennis with Honey Yvonne, so, it was a massive big sporting family. I suppose in a little country town, that's all you could do. And that's the fun that you had to do. So it was all about sport.
Well, let's talk about you, Morris. 1,000 goals in the AFL Black Diamond competition, and you achieved that feat a few years ago. I think it was 2011. But in one season, it really stood out. You kicked 112 goals and just 13 behinds. Now, I broadcast AFL football for the SEN network, and what I get really disappointed with is the ability of certain forwards in most clubs from about 35 metres out directly in front, not kicking it through the major opening. What made you so accurate?
First off, it was 135 goals, 12 goals I missed.
135 goals, was it?
Yeah, 135 goals, I missed 12 goals. I missed 135 goals, 12 points.
Okay, the information I got was incorrect. I'm glad you clarified that. But that, your accuracy is incredible. How did you become so accurate?
When I was growing up in Burrellum, you know, I lived just around the corner from the football oval. So I'd always have a football, went around. And when I was kicking for goals, I didn't actually kick for goals. I was kicking the post. So I aimed for the goal post, point post, and I worked my way around the arc. And that's how I got my accuracy and my muscle memory of kicking it straight and getting the accuracy in that way. And then obviously when it come to game days, you know, I'd still aim for the post, but I'd use the wind and all that factor into it to put the ball where I needed to go.
So before you went home after training, you made sure you hit the two behind posts and the two goal posts before you went home?
I did it before training. I did it just days off, like when I just go around there during the day and just go and practice kicking the ball to hit the post and to get my accuracy that way. So
I tell you what, Morris, I reckon AFL clubs should look at you and get you down as a goal kicking specialist. I reckon you could teach some of these professionals a few lessons.
Yeah, I mean, like I watch the AFL now these days, and you know, kicking around the corner and doing all that sort of stuff. And but you know, I don't like it. I don't, you know, from the way I used to practice, you know, it's just about the way I dropped the ball on my foot. It's just the way I, you know, put in consideration what was happening on the day with the wind and all that sort of stuff, and obviously, and then not going past your limitations of how far you could kick. Because if you try to kick the ball too hard, that's when your accuracy and your body gets out of line, and it's when you're kicking them, you know, to the left or to the right or whatever that side. So
what was
knowing your limitations?
What was your comfortable range out from goal? Was it 40? Was it 50? Was it 35? What was your comfortable range?
Comfortable range was in between 40 and 50 metres. So, and like obviously, if the wind was behind me, then I could kick, you know, 55, 60 metres sort of thing. But just, as I said, it depends on the day and what way we're going with the wind and all that sort of stuff. I put all that, I make sure I used to get the games early and make sure, you know, see how the weather was and go and have a look at the ground and do all that sort of stuff. And yeah, so
you did a lot of the homework that maybe a lot of AFL full forwards don't use these days. Saying that, your biggest haul was 25 goals in one game. Is that correct?
That's right. That's the year I kicked 135 goals and 12 points. Yeah.
How many points did you kick in that game when you kicked 25 goals?
I think it was only about three or four.
And what was the team score? Do you remember?
Oh, I was way over 200, but I was behind in the leading goal kicking there at that time. I was behind by 7 or 8 goals or something. And he kicked 12 goals that day, and I kicked 25 and won by 7, I think, or 6 goals or something, I think it was.
Did you ever
he had it in the bag.
Did you ever get overtures to maybe go to the Big Smoke, maybe go to Sydney and maybe play in any of the city leagues?
Well, I did play for St. George for one season. I played there against Pennant Hills and all them sort of teams, like the local city teams. Played there for a season, then I went out to the country and played out there for a season as well. I did a bit of travelling.
You were known as the park footy plugger after Tony Lockett. Have you ever met Plugger?
That's right. No, I've never met him. I'll hopefully meet him Sunday on Friday night.
How excited are you about it? Are you a bit of a personality, or do you think in some ways you might be a bit shy and bashful, knowing that you're going to be in the New South Wales AFL Hall of Fame and there will be some luminaries there?
Yes, no, I'll be pretty shy, actually. I'm a pretty shy guy. Like, I don't go up and approach people too often. But, yeah, I mean, if they're happy to have the conversation or, you know, happy to meet him, be a pleasure to meet him, actually. But, yeah, but I'm not the one to sort of go out of my way and go up and introduce myself sort of thing. So.
Have you been told how the ceremony will go? Will you have to go up on stage and say a few words?
No, I haven't heard anything yet, as yet. So all I know is we've got to be there by 5 o'clock. Yeah, getting inducted, and then they're doing, I think they've got 10 or 12 players that they're putting into legendary status, or legendary people for the inductees. So, but I haven't heard of it, whether I've got to do a speech or anything like that, so I hope not, because I haven't prepared one.
There's actually... Well, if you go up on stage, you'll probably have to thank a couple of people. Who would you thank?
One of my older sisters. She used to take me to a lot of games. She was one of the large sisters that I drove all the way back from Swan Hill to the Central Coast for a grand final one night. So one day, so they left at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we drove all the way back from Swan Hill to Wyong, and played in the grand final. But my mum, obviously, my dad, for the time that they spent through, especially through my junior career. And obviously my kids were, coming and watching. I mean, they were pretty young when I was playing, but they were pretty much at every game. Mm. So they're the people I'd thank.
And finally...
And obviously the people around the club as well, around the club and the people that, the players that I played with and stuff like that. So
that's a fantastic story. When I saw this story, I said, I've got to speak to Morris. So this is a great story, and no doubt it's going to be a special night for you there at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Have you got a favourite footballer while you were playing? Is there some footballer that you looked up to?
Michael Long was one of the players I looked up to when I was playing. And Gavin Wanganeen was another player. I loved watching, admired playing, and obviously Tony Lockett. And later on in life, watching Buddy Franklin play as well.
Have you met any of those individuals?
Yes, I've met Michael Long. He was at a wedding because I'm good friends with Nova Paris.
Oh right.
And he was at Nova's wedding. Yeah, he was at Nova's wedding. My mate married Nova up in Darwin 10, 12 years ago.
Fantastic.
And I've met Buddy. I do a little bit of work with the Swans Academy, so. Yeah, we got an Indigenous Swans Academy started up here along the East Coast line. And I met Buddy last year at the Swans headquarters. Yeah.
What a footballer he was. So. You know where he came from, Morris? What part of Australia he came from?
No.
He came from the West Coast. Little country town called Dowran, which is probably a couple of hours out of Perth. There you go, Morris. I'm telling you something. When you have a chat to Buddy on the special night, you can tell him that, okay?
Yep. I will, for sure.
Congratulations. It's an incredible achievement. One of 100 inaugural inductees into the New South Wales Australian Football Hall of Fame, Morris Goolagong. Yep. I'd love to have seen you play, mate. I'd love to have seen you play. To kick the goals you did and to be so accurate, you'd probably go down as probably the most accurate kicker on goal in Australia, I reckon. I don't think there's been anyone that's been as accurate as you have.
No, and that's why, with my big body frame too, a lot of people couldn't understand how well I kicked the ball and how quick I was over the first 20 metres. So if you Google, if you YouTube my name, Morris Goolagong 10 tonne, you'll see me, there's a video up there of kicking my 1,000th goal.
Good on you. I'm going to look at it right now. Thanks for joining us, Morris.
No worries,
it's been a pleasure. Congratulations and enjoy the night.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
Morris Goolagong joining us, and I'm just actually doing that. Morris Goolagong, 10 tonne, he said, on YouTube. So that's a celebration of his 1,000th goal. I hope you enjoyed that. Something a bit different, but in the end, he's been bestowed by the New South Wales AFL as a Hall of Famer. He's been inducted at the SCG, a special presentation in the noble room there at the Sydney Cricket Ground on Friday night. And as he mentioned, he's gone out and he's bought a suit. He's going with his son. And as I said, he's made a significant contribution to the code in New South Wales. A key forward he was, and he developed a goal-kicking technique through that unusual training method of hitting the behind post, then the goal post, then the goal post, and then another behind post to try and improve his accuracy. And it certainly worked, kicking in one season 135 goals, as he said, 12 behinds. Quite incredible. All right, we've got it. Morris Goolagong kicking his 1,000th goal. We'll play that into the break in just a moment. But some breaking news out of the NRL. Jason Demetriou, the coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, has just been sacked, effective immediately. There was a crunch board meeting at 5 o'clock Sydney time, and it's just broken out. And Jason Demetriou is no longer the coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. South's copped a 54-20 hammering by the Storm on Anzac Day, and that was the final nail in his coaching coffin. After a run of terrible results, South were top of the table after 11 rounds last season before a stunning fall from grace saw them miss the finals. And at the moment, they've only had one solitary win over the Bulldogs and six losses to start 2024, and they're anchored at the bottom of the table. Demetriou coached South to 31 wins from 60 games for a winning percentage of 51.67, including one preliminary final appearance in 2022. And prior to that, he was assistant coach under Wayne Bennett during his three-year tenure at the Bunnies. So just some breaking news in the elite of the NRL. Fact that Jason Demetriou has effectively been sacked with immediate effect at a crunch board meeting of the Rabbitohs board earlier this afternoon. We'll take a break. As we go to the break, here he is, Morris Goolagong, kicking his 1,000th goal. Here it is.
Can you believe it? 20 seconds to go, and he's about 20 metres out, Goolagong, and he needs just one goal for 1,000, and they're 5 points behind. Right now, my cat Holly's looking at me. She thinks I'm really straight, but that's okay. That's okay. The big crowd gets set. Goolagong goes back. Pressure. Talk about pressure. Set. Goes in, goes bang and drills, and Goolagong got the 1,000, and his team have got the next 5 points. What a moment! What a moment! 1,000 goals, you'll never see it again.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
And don't forget, the good oil is brought to you by Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil. And the good oil at the moment people are talking about is the Perth Glory. As we mentioned, a terrible end to the season. They conceded 19 goals, and it came to a climax away to Sydney FC at the weekend, where they were beaten by 7-1. Before that, they lost 4-3 at home to Western United. And the epidemic really started the week before that when they lost 8-0 to Melbourne City, conceding 19 goals in the final three games. They didn't win in their last 10, anchored at the foot of the A-League table, their second wooden spoon in three seasons. So the questions are being asked, and the people are now wondering what the future is for the Perth Glory. As we know, just a couple of months ago, the Peligra Group took over the ownership of the club. And Ross Peligra, who's been a frequent attendee at the Perth Glory Games here in Perth since taking over, has certainly vowed and in some ways promised that the Perth Glory will rise like a phoenix pretty quickly. And one of his first appointments was putting in place one of the great exports when it came to the world game from this part of the world in Stan Lazaridis. As we know, as a young boy, he went to the UK and played with distinction with the likes of West Ham and Birmingham City, and also as part of the golden generation that contested the 2006 World Cup, where Gus Hiddink was the manager. And as we know, the Australians did exceptionally well to get out of the group stage, only to be foiled by Italy in very controversial circumstances. He's had some big jobs and big challenges when he was a player, and now he's got a big job and a big challenge as the director of football at the Perth Glory, and Stan's made himself available on the program this evening. Stan, thanks for your time.
Good evening, Peter. Good evening.
It's been hard to take, hasn't it, the last few weeks at the Perth Glory? You're appointed, I think, probably a couple of weeks out from the end of the season. It's been a tough period for all concerned.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, I think it's been just been tough for the club in general, not knowing if there was going to be a club, firstly, administration. And then once we did find the owner in Rosario Peligra and the group, I guess it then started as to how we're going to rebuild this club. But there's not a lot you can do when you're only a couple of months away from the end of the season. So it was a bit of kind of wait and see. Let's see how the players will see out the season. And then for us, we were just, all we've been doing is assessing, looking at all the areas of weakness, and looking at where we're thin on the ground, both on and off the park. And let me tell you, Peter, it's overwhelming as to how many areas we need to address. So I understand the frustration of the loyal fans, but I assure you that with this group, there's going to be some real exciting things going to happen with the club going forward. I would love to start talking about a number of those issues, those things, should I say, but at the moment I still think the season has to end before we can start announcing certain things.
Stan, we've seen it in other sports, and one of the biggest brands, if not the biggest brand here in Western Australia, is the West Coast Eagles. And they, as we know, have had a horrendous last couple of seasons, and they're starting to rise from the ashes now, particularly this year, with some very, you know, good results in the last two or three weeks. Is this going to be a quick fix, or do you think it'll take time?
Good question. I'd like probably somewhere in the middle. I think I don't like to say I need 5 years, I need 3 years, I need 4 years. I'm going to say no. I'd like to think there'll be a significant improvement for next season. We are going to be extremely competitive, and I really think that we're going to be vying for the top six with what I particularly have planned. I know with Rosario, and from the stadium point of view and club point of view, there's some real big things coming our way, but they're going to take some time. So that side of things, creating our own stadium and grounds, will probably be in the vicinity of 4 or 5 years away. But in the interim, we do want to find a home. And then in the meantime, I've been given the job to rebuild the team and player personnel alongside working with the coaches. And that goes for the women's team as well. So I know we're going to be up much, much better next year. So we ain't going to be finishing bottom of the table. And we're not going to be conceding those amounts of goals that you mentioned early on. And, you know, I want to bring back speed, steel, goals, excitement into the team. It's what the fans are. I know what the fans want. I really do. And I need a little bit of time. Not a lot of time. I just need a little bit of time.
Stan, a lot of conjecture regarding the performances in the last few weeks seemingly has been attributed because a lot of the players, and you would have been in this position in your professional career, not knowing what the future may hold for you as an individual. Yes. This is the players' jobs. This is their livelihood. Do you think that's contributed to the results?
Yeah, look, I absolutely think that has been the case. In saying it's not fair on the players either, that they've gone through the whole season not knowing. And then even when we took over, they still didn't know, but we also don't know either. You know, we're still assessing the players. And you've got a lot of players, both visa players and the players that are locally, that are wondering about their futures. A lot of them couldn't concentrate on their games. A lot of them... It was too confusing and too hard for them, which I understand. I understand that. And so we're faced in this real kind of weird moment that players, I guess, were in this position where, what do? Do they go out and play? Do they risk themselves get injured? Do they do this? Look, as professionals, players have got to go out there, and there's always someone watching, Peter. So that was always my thing was, someone was always watching you. So you'd always go out and do the best you could. But in saying that, the confidence was so down. We never really had a stable side. And the amount of goals we conceded, particularly in the last five games, I think it's nearly 25 goals, it's just not good enough. And that, for me, you know, we have to apologise to the fans. As a football club, that's not good enough. And that will not be happening next year, Peter.
Have you started the individual reviews of every player to see, and I'm not asking for any names, whether they are required or not?
Yeah, look, we've predominantly gone through most of the squad. There's still a few more players that we're undecided on. And so I guess we parked them for a little bit, if that's probably not the right word, but it's at the moment we're still assessing. And that is in light of there's certain players that I want to bring to this club, Peter. Players that I think the fans are really going to take to, players that I think are going to put bums on seats and bring back so many supporters. And I'm just hoping that in time that I'm going to be able to get those players in. And I would love to start saying some of the names, you know, that I'm after, because it would really, really excite the fans. And we mean business. I don't want to say things like, oh, look, it's going to take 3, 4, 5 years. No, it doesn't work that way. Rosario is the type of guy that you can see what's happened at Catania. They resurrected things there within 6 months. They got promotion. They won the cup. They're now going to be in a promotion playoff to get into the Serie B. Managers came and went 2-3 times. So one thing with the Pellegrini group is if it's not working out, they are eager to move things and change things, and that's probably me included. You know, if I don't deliver for this club and we're having this conversation this time next year and we're not competitive and we're not doing what I promised, then I won't be here either, Peter. So that's how this new glory outfit is going to be.
You are the director of football. You oversee the football department. The coaches are in the football department. And we're talking about Alan Stajic and, of course, Alex Aparkas in the A-League women's team. Have you had conversations with them yet, or can you enlighten us if there's a future for them at the club? I know the MGP presentation is next Monday night, so you can't say too much because that's the fairest and best.
Yeah, of course.
Can you enlighten us on the coaching situation?
Yeah, look, I mean, in regards to both those coaches, I think both of the coaches have had things stacked against them. You know, you look at the way Alan's circumstances of coming in have been really hard on him, losing players, administration, this, that, the other. And in the end, he's got a very young, inexperienced squad, and basically whoever's fit was playing. So Alan's really had it up against him. From his point of view, Alex started off really, really well at Parkers. And then the last 12 games, you know, hasn't gone the way that we would like. And there wasn't a win there. So, look, he's definitely being looked at. I've had private words with Alex. And he knows he needs to really step up because, you know, obviously if he goes on that sort of run of another 12 games, well, he won't be here. It's as simple as that. And Alex knows that, and he's up for it. He's excited. As far as Alan and the working team, there's no changes. There's no changes at the moment. The way we're looking at it is we still assessing the situation. We are still I'm also waiting for Vincenzo Grella, Rosario, Pellegrini to be flying in. They'll be flying in on the weekend. So we are conducting a review this weekend, I believe. And we don't know what that outcome is going to be of yet, because there's budgets in place as well, Peter, that we've got to oversee. And then obviously I'll then be instructed on the players that I'm wanting to bring in. I'm hoping to get a big tick from Rosario and Vincenzo Grella. And I'm hoping that conversation goes really well, because I feel if I can get those players, then I think we'll be competing next year, like really competing. And And hopefully that goes to plan. I'm sorry if I haven't answered them.
No,
exactly,
that's okay. So
the
only question I want to ask you, Sam, so as far as your situation is, that Alan Stadjic and Alex Aparkas, depending how they start next season, are in place for the start of the new season?
For now, they're in place until Rosario and Vincenzo come down from Italy together and give me the thumbs up.
Okay, so it's a review this weekend. Is it on the coaches, on the players, the whole bit?
Exactly right, Peter.
Okay.
So it's very difficult for me to answer those questions right now, but from my understanding, nothing has changed. I had a meeting today with Alan Stadjic and Naz, and still discussing our team and players pre-season. So all of that is as normal. Alex Park is the same. We're looking at certain girls that we want to bring in. And it's really exciting from the women's point of view, if I may say. And budgets are intertwined in that, because it involves maybe releasing players that have to part ways, so we're able to bring in other players that can fit the budget. So at the moment, it's a bit of the jigsaw is kind of going left and right, and the pieces are moving. But as of management and all of that, everything is on hold until this weekend. And let's see what this weekend brings, because Catania had their big game last weekend where they are safe and they're safe in the third sheet, and then they're preparing for a playoff to get promoted to Serie B. So there's exciting things for the club there, and I think Rosario is going to be flying down happy. So from that point of view, I kind of look forward to seeing them both.
Okay. Well, Stan, as I said, it's a big night for the Glory on Monday night. It's their MGP. Yep. It's their showcase for the season. Even though the season has been a difficult one, it's a time to certainly acknowledge everybody that's been involved with the club, and I gather more announcements will be made probably following that on Monday night. Stan, thanks for joining us on the program. Look forward to seeing you on Monday night to honour the latest MGP. And thanks for being so frank on the program. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
Good on you. Stan Lazaridis, Soccer is Great, and the director of football, the Perth Glory. And just reading between the lines, no doubt there will be a huge board meeting. The power brokers will get together on the weekend and will determine that the coaching situation of both the A-League Women's and the A-League Men's for next season, and also the squad and players. I gather next weekend there'll be news of players that are released, and I believe there will be quite a significant number. And I gather from that point of view, Stan will also start announcing some new acquisitions for the club as well. The good oil on the Perth Glory, brought to you by Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested, and first cold-pressed in northern Victoria. Before I go, for Tyre Power's power-up sale is on now. Just the sports news headlines. The big story coming out of the rugby league is the fact that Jason Demetriou, with immediate effect, has been sacked as coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. There was a hastily arranged board meeting late this afternoon in Sydney, and it's just broken up about half an hour ago, and the news has filtered through that Jason Demetriou will no longer be coaching the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who have had a terrible start to the 2024 season, particularly on the back end of that thrashing to the Melbourne Storm at the weekend. They currently sit at the foot of the NRL table with only one win so far this season. So that's a significant story coming out of the NRL. Also, in other sporting news, Sam Taylor made some interesting comments ahead of the Battle of the Bridge. Sydney take on GWS this weekend. Of course, Sam Taylor, a West Australian product.
They're young, they're firing, they're a bit smug. There is a lot of dislike, and once we get on the field, we want to beat them, we want to smack them.
And also, finally, a great gesture by Rafael Nadal. After spending more than 3 hours on the court and earning a hard-fought victory, Rafael Nadal was feeling optimistic again. The Spaniard's body withstood its toughest test yet at the Madrid Open, as he needed three sets to get past the number one ranked Pedro Cachin. Nadal didn't show any signs of physical limitations as he won 6-1, 6-7, 6-3 to make it to the round of 16 at the clay court tournament, where he is a record five-time champion. And it's interesting that Pedro came up before the match, knowing that he's playing Rafael Nadal, to say that Rafael Nadal is his hero in tennis. And at the end of the match, Rafael Nadal went to his tennis bag, got one of his shirts, signed it, went around the chairperson's umpire, and gave the shirt to Pedro as a memento of the match that he played against the idol. What a nice touch by Rafael Nadal. And of course, the other story is that LeBron James's LA Lakers have been eliminated from the NBA playoffs this morning. It's been a big show. Hope you've enjoyed it. Look forward to your company from the run home tomorrow between 3 and 5. And I'll stick around and spend with you with Sports Day WA. Thanks, Connor. Thanks, Jimmy.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.